This week, President Obama is putting unprecedented focus on reforming the U.S. criminal justice system. Tomorrow, he becomes the first sitting U.S. president to visit a federal prison. And in a speech yesterday, President Obama called for fixing what he called a broken system and mandatory minimum sentencing laws that Obama says send too many nonviolent drug offenders to prison for too long.
It's not keeping us as safe as it should be. It is not as fair as it should be. Mass incarceration makes our country worse off, and we need to do something about it.
The president also commuted the sentences of 46 nonviolent drug offenders this week. And in a personal letter to each soon-to-be ex-offender, Obama warned them, quote, it will not be easy for them once they get out. Joining us to talk about all of this is Andrew Cohen, commentary editor at The Marshall Project, an online journalism organization that focuses on criminal justice issues. Andrew, welcome.
It's good to be here.
So first of all, put this in context for us. How significant is it that a sitting president is going to visit a federal prison?
It's literally historic. No president has ever done it. A lot of presidents, of course, have talked about law and order with varying degrees of ardor, but President Obama actually is going to go to this medium security facility. He's apparently going to meet with correction officials and with inmates there, low-level nonviolent drug offenders. And it's all part of this symbolic push by the White House to try to keep up with Congress as Congress deliberates and discusses various sentencing reform packages that really would reshape the landscape on federal crime and punishment.
Well, we're going to talk in a minute about exactly how that might happen. But it's interesting to hear you say that the White House is trying to keep up with Congress here because, you know, Eric Holder, former attorney general, has also in months and years past talked a lot about sentencing reform. But to hear a president talk about it, and especially President Obama, is quite bracing. It kind of stops you in your tracks. Is he talking about it in a way that we haven't heard before, or is it sort of still part of that same, seems to be growing effort to really focus on sentencing reform?
Well, I think it's both, right? I mean, I think the fact that any president is talking about crime and punishment and solitary confinement and rehabilitation programs and you know, different approaches to policing and prosecutorial discretion and all that. The fact that those things are coming from the mouth of any president is historic and unthinkable, really, even a year ago, this all was unthinkable, that you would have the Koch brothers lined up with the ACLU and so forth, as the president noted in his NAACP speech. So the fact that it's happening is a big deal. The fact that it's happening with such detail, and the fact that he's able politically to do it because he knows that several of the Republican presidential candidates already have come down in favor of the very types of reforms that the White House wants, that Eric Holder has been pushing for years, is really remarkable.
Is that what's changing, that there seems to be momentum in Congress now? Because I just heard you say that a year ago, even this conversation at this high level was unthinkable.
Yeah, the change has come from conservatives. The change has come because conservatives over the past, say, 3 or 4 or 5 years have come to realize they don't want to pay anymore for the huge cost of mass incarceration on the state level or even on the federal level. Pat Robertson, years ago, was talking about how crazy it is that California has spent more money on prisons than on schools. So all of these voices have sort of coalesced together to give political cover to liberals and progressives to say, you know what, we may disagree exactly on the reasons why we want these reforms, but we agree that the reform should take place. Now, the big question going forward as we stand here today is, it's one thing for everyone to talk about it, and everyone's come together and agrees that there are these broad changes that need to be made. It's another thing for these changes actually to be made. And that's the open question. Congress has all these measures before it, but still hasn't voted substantively on anything in years.
So just to be clear, though, I mean, while there may be a coming together in terms of a desire for reform in federal sentencing guidelines, I don't hear you say that there's an agreement that mandatory minimums, for example, have or haven't worked.
I think that there is an agreement that mandatory minimums have to be restricted. Now, the president and Rand Paul think that they should be done away with, that judges should be given back the discretion that they were taken away from them by Congress many, many years ago. But there is, I think, this broad realization that on some level, mandatory minimums have to be reduced and restricted.
Well, just to put this in context, I'm seeing that there are a little more than 200,000 people currently in the federal prison system. And of course, many more than that, more than 2 million people in state prisons in the United States. I mean, overall, that gives the United States the highest incarceration rate in the world. So this is an enormous issue. It affects the lives of literally millions of people.
It does. And, of course, there are tens of millions of people who are affected by those who are incarcerated. But crunching the numbers like that brings up a good point. What we're talking about here from the president is federal reform, right? That's going to focus on this relatively small number of people. The greater number of people, the 2 million people who are in state and local prisons and jails, they've already started to see some reform. And I think one of the fascinating components to this story is that the federal government is not leading. The federal government is definitely following the states that have gone and reformed their criminal justice systems. Texas has done it. Alabama has done it, Mississippi and Georgia, red states. Republican lawmakers can cite to their constituents, look, folks, we're not doing something dramatic and liberal, and we're doing something that they did in Texas.
Well, tell me a little bit more about what Georgia has done, because you've written as Georgia being a petri dish or sort of a testing ground on criminal justice issues.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia, like many other states, got fed up with the amount of money that it was spending each year on prisons instead of schools and roads and other things that you want your state and local governments to spend money on. So the governor there made a deal with progressives and liberals to try to stem the tide. So you have fewer prisoners now in Georgia. You have sentencing reform there. You have investments in post-conviction and post-prison rehabilitation services designed once you allow people to leave prison to make sure that they don't come back relatively quickly. And so far, to a certain extent, it's working. Now, it's not perfect, but it is working well enough so that other states in that region are modeling their own reform legislation around it. Alabama, just in the last couple of months, passed a sweeping prison reform measure that the Republican governor was happy to sign. So criminal justice reform has come more quickly in some red states than it has in some of the blue states that you would think would be on the forefront of that reform.
Hmm. Well, this takes me back to a question, though, that you asked in earlier in the conversation, is that there might be momentum now behind some kind of federal level sentencing reform. But will any of these bills actually pass? I mean, do you dare look forward and prognosticate for us?
Well, the conventional wisdom is it should happen soon or else it's going to get swallowed up into the 2016 presidential campaign. Charles Grassley, the powerful chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said this week that he thinks he's going to put forward a measure that has bipartisan support from the Senate side in the next couple of weeks. And then you hope, for some sort of vote on it. But, of course, this is a very dysfunctional Congress, and anything can happen. One of the interesting components to the president's speech is the idea that, it's sort of a wild card, right? Some lawmakers, I would think, on the Republican side are so disdainful of the president that they may not vote for anything that they think he supports. And, of course, now he's on the record as supporting some of this reform. So does the president's push Congress to do something, or does the president's push politicize the issue in a way that Congress was hoping would not be politicized? That's one of the open questions going into this last couple of weeks before Congress takes its break.
Are we likely to see pushback also from, say, some of the for-profit companies that are involved in the criminal justice system? I mean, one of the phrases that we hear on occasion is the prison industrial complex. There's a lot of money involved here, too.
There's a ton of money involved. There is a ton of lobbying going on. And it's not just from private prison industries. It's also from police, right, and prosecutors. And there are enormously powerful lobbies, the law enforcement lobby. But I think, to a certain extent, that lobby has been neutralized a little bit because some of this legislation, for example, some of the federal legislation, has sort of the carrot and the stick for the cops. In addition to these saving measures that are going to reduce prison populations, some of the money, extra money, is going to go to the police.
Finally, Andrew, if I may ask, how much meaning or resonance does this moment have in particular for President Obama? And I'm asking this because, I mean, in the United States, we have these very high incarceration rates. And then, of course, if you look at who's being imprisoned, the rates amongst minority Americans are just even higher. So does it matter more? Does it resonate more that the country's first black president is speaking about this?
Well, it's a great question, and I guess you could look at it in two ways. I don't think this president would have delivered the speech he did this week a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. No way, because it is a striking speech, and it is a speech that I think cuts into one of the essential issues that he has mostly downplayed, which is his race and the racial components of criminal justice. But you notice in the speeches since Ferguson a year ago, this increasing volume from the president and even from his attorney general on the point. So either he's lucky or he was really, really smart and waited for the right time. Either way, he's now in the midst of this push that we're waiting to see how it all plays out.
Well, Andrew Cohen is the commentary editor at the Marshall Project, an online journalism organization that focuses on American criminal justice issues. Andrew, it was really great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.